Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are glad that you are with us today. The biggest announcement that I have is I'm going to be in and out a lot this week. So I've got lots of exciting things going on in my life this week. Well, tomorrow we bring home our puppy. As if that wasn't exciting enough, Tuesday and Thursday, I'll be over at De Chola helping out with their music, arts, dance, and drama camp. And as if all that wasn't exciting enough, I have my annual family reunion up in Crivitz this coming weekend. I will be in church next Sunday, and everybody will get stuff from me if they are helping out with worship on Sunday. I just may not be in the office as much as usual. So if you would like to meet with me this week, this is more than usual. Just set up a time and we'll figure it out together. It's gonna be quite a week, and I'm really excited about it. Other announcements this morning. We have a personnel meeting after worship today, and the media team will not meet this coming Tuesday because we worked a month ahead. So good for us. Anything else? Okay.
You may remain seated until we get to the call to worship.
Good morning. Welcome to worship on this holiday weekend. Yesterday we celebrated the 250th anniversary of our country's independence. Many Christians are grappling with a wide range of emotions about our country right now. Many are also looking to their faith to help them process these emotions, just as we do in any time of challenge or hopelessness. Throughout the service, we'll consider themes of hospitality rooted in the book of Genesis and how that hospitality calls us to seek love and justice for all God's people, including those who don't look like us, worship like us, or come from where we come from. We will be singing patriotic hymns, but we do not worship a country or its leaders. We worship God. As we sing, we invite you to pay close attention to the perseverance and prayers contained in the lyrics, words that ask God to look upon each of us with grace and to mend what is still flawed in us and in our shared faith. This service won't ask you to align with a party or a platform, but it will ask us together to reckon honestly with God's call to love neighbor and stranger alike, a call that doesn't always come up easily, and one we're invited into together, whatever that stirs up. Thank you for joining us. Please stand if you're capable. Calling all citizens of heaven, exiled dreamers, and disciples of love. Calling all pilgrims of the Spirit, carried out by the winds of hope. Calling all travelers between worlds who translate compassion into peace. Come to worship and be renewed for this long journey. Join me in the opening prayer. God of this day and all days, God of this place and all places, we come together to listen to stories about you as we remember and share our own stories. We give thanks for all that has been passed on to us. We give thanks for the chance to pass on what is dear to us. And we pray, may we be honest and brave in the stories we tell about ourselves. Help us to name and own our arrogance and ignorance, the damage we may have caused, and the harm in which we have been complicit. Empower us to resist the lie that all is lost. Invite us to remember we are yours and the world is yours, and with you anything is possible. May we be faithful and humble in the stories we tell about you. Help us to take seriously the task of invoking your name. Help us to remember that your heart holds all of us and all that is. Tell us again the promise, our home is in you and our rest is in you. As we trust your words, may our hope be in you. Amen. Opening hymn is number 729, Lift Every Voice and Sing, verses 1 and 3. Confession. Gracious one, where do we begin? You call us to do justice. You ask us to love mercy.
And we counter that a show of strength is necessary.
You invite us to walk humbly with you.
And we struggle to recognize you and our neighbors in the dispossessed, in the poor and hungry places of our own hearts.
We confess we have failed to summon the courage and compassion required by your call.
We have treated hospitality as an option, kinship as a choice, instead of as the center of our life together.
We have claimed your name, yet rejected your way.
Forgive us, we pray.
Friends, hear this good news. God's gift is love that liberates, hope that inspires, grace that transforms. Each of us alone and all of us together are forgiven and set free.
Hallelujah. Amen.
First scripture is Genesis 24, 34 through 38, 42 through 49, and 58 through 67. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he's become wealthy, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live. But you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make a successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And who will he say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar and from her shoulder and said, drink, and I also will water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Micah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelet on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away with their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sisters, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi and was settled in Negeb. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field and looked up. He saw camels coming, and Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So he took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. I always ask our liturgists if they have any questions before worship, and Rick said to me today, yeah, I have a question. Could you have made it any longer? Yeah, thanks for being a trooper. Well, we continue in our series of The Media Team Made Me Preach It, and it's Eliza's turn, so they suggested Border Song by Elton John and thought that's a particularly good fit for the 4th of July weekend, and I agree, and we will get to that in a moment, but first, here is Border Song. There we go. Nope. It's all good. Grace abounds.
Moses, I have been removed. I have seen the specter. He has been here too. Distant cousin from down the line. Brand of people who ain't my kind. Oh, Moses, I have been removed.
That was worth the wait. Thank you. Friends, let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So in this week's edition of The Media Team Made Me Preach It, we're looking at a song that propelled Elton John into stardom in 1970. At the time, Border Song was lauded as, quote, "nothing short of fantastic," by one reviewer. Another reviewer predicted that this song would give Elton John his first taste of American stardom. In fact, this is the first of Elton John's singles to chart anywhere in the world. If that wasn't validation enough, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin herself, covered this tune less than a year later. When Eliza, a member of our media team, offered this as a possibility for the series, they thought it would be a great song for the 4th of July weekend, and I think they're absolutely right. Bernie Taupin's lyrics include powerful commentary on the racism and hatred that was present in the world at that time. And first of all, the lyrics talk about the disorientation of being removed, having seen faces of distant relatives and even strangers in their minds. There's a desire to go back to some place that seemed better or more familiar, but is now inaccessible. And that kind of rhetoric is in our country today. The lyrics later talk about being deceived. The way I interpret them, Bernie Taupin feels like he's been deceived by the system of oppression and hatred that exist. And I wonder if that's how the Abrahamic family might be feeling in our story from Genesis. Dr. Amanda Miller's commentary notes that at its heart, this is a story about finding home not in a place, but in people we meet along the way. Every ancestor in the book of Genesis was a wanderer. And it's not incidental. It tells us something true, that the impulse to migrate, to cross borders, to encounter new people and new places, it's one of the oldest, richest threads in the human story. But by the time we get to Genesis 24, where our scripture comes from today, Abraham has finally put down roots in Canaan. But part of his heart never really left Nahor, the land which he comes of age. And he wants Isaac, the next generation, to experience that and carry that memory also. So he does something telling. He doesn't go himself. He sends his most trusted servant, a man who may very well have been enslaved, back to Nahor to find Isaac a wife. And the servant says a prayer to help him on his journey. He prays that a stranger will not only show him kindness, but his camels as well, because the servant believes that if the woman will show even his camels kindness, she is a worthy matriarch for his master's family. And this is exactly who he found in Rebecca. She was energetic. She ran to draw water for 10 camels. She was hospitable, eager to welcome the servant to her home. And above all, a woman of faith, ready, like Abraham, to leave home and leave family and everything she knew for the land of promise. She truly was the perfect wife, if there ever was one. This is the answer to the servant's prayer and the prayer of Isaac's father, Abraham. Now, this is all a nice idea, but to really feel the weight of what's going on here, we actually need to go back a chapter. I won't have Rick read that to you. He's probably tired already. In chapter 23, I'll give you the spark notes. The preceding chapter of today's text, Abraham's wife Sarah has died at the age of 127. And you might remember the story of Abraham and Sarah desperately wanting children, and even though they were very old, and God tells them that they're going to have kids, and they laugh. You know, it's that family. And this chapter deals with Abraham talking to a neighboring community called the Hittites about finding a burial plot for Sarah. And they give him burial ground in the choicest place, in the cave of a field. So Isaac is making this big life change in the midst of deep grief and missing his mother. And if Abraham can't provide Isaac with his mother's guidance, he at least wants to help his son find a wife who will meet him where he's at and help him build a future together. And God provides. It turns out that Rebekah is incredibly compassionate and kind to Isaac's family, and she goes to meet the family in the tent where Sarah lived, a symbolic gesture to the previous most important woman of his life, and also the next most important woman in his life as his life moves on. It isn't always that simple, which is why we're looking at this text today. Abraham is very stern with his servant, saying that, "I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, where I am living now. But go to my country and to my kindred and to my homeland and find a wife for my son Isaac." Even back then, there were preferences for cultures that couldn't be ignored. In biblical times, certain cultures were believed to possess specific attributes, both positive and negative. Just as we have observed today in the ways that we put people in boxes. As we think about our country's beginnings and where we are today, that's a common thread that weaves through our country's story. We have placed value on certain people over others based on many social constructs. This song, of course, focuses primarily on race. That's why it was important in the early 70s to have a song like Border Song serve as Elton John's introduction to America. The lyric, "He's my brother, let us live in peace," is not just a nice idea. Rebecca's defining trait, the thing that marks her out, is hospitality to a stranger. That's how Abraham's servant knows that he's found the right woman. He doesn't test her with a riddle or a genealogy. He watches what she does. And what she does is offer water, the very source of life and survival, not just to him, but to his camels as well. And that's no small gesture. We need to remember that getting enough water for himself and for camels took hours of labor and meaningful dedication. And there's a kind of symmetry to what happens next. Because when Rebekah agrees to leave everything she knows and go to Canaan, Isaac welcomes her the same way. The same way that she welcomed the servant. He brings her into his mother's tent, the center of his home and family. Now, we might not have the opportunity to show radical hospitality like that, to do the exact same thing, to welcome somebody in our culture or into our lives in such a radical way. But we can promote peace among strangers in small ways. We can pursue love and justice for the marginalized and the oppressed, the way we recently did for food pantry recipients through our VBS mission project, ensuring our neighbors have enough to eat. We can make sure that the people who have been hurt by the church can find a home in our community, living into the words that we start worship with every week. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether that's a cultural welcome, a welcome of somebody whose sexual orientation differs from ours, or a welcome to someone who can't contribute to our yearly budget but still offers meaningful, faithful ministry to our church. Now, our efforts may not always be perfect. We are messy people, just like anyone else. But it means something that we continue to work towards that ideal. And more widely, that's the kind of work that we have to do to survive as a country. We need to show kindness to our neighbors without questioning first whether or not they are worthy. We need to stop treating people as dispensable if our political ideologies or our other ideologies don't align. Because we all have something to offer to make our country a more perfect union. Won't always be perfect. It's probably never going to be perfect. It will be forever imperfect. But it's in that work that meaningful conversations and life-changing connections can happen. Just like Rebekah chose love and a promising future from a surprising and unexpected encounter, let us do the same. Let us choose love. Let us work together, all of us, because we need each other more than ever. Let us do what we can so that people might experience our love in the world. Let us do what we can so that people might actually live in peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we enter into a time of silent prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Amen. A couple of prayer requests. I am mindful of all of the people in our community here who are either some people would say homebound, but I would say members of our visitation list. I'm specifically thinking about Barb and Paul and Laura. We pray for all of them. God, in your mercy. I also, oh, and Connie as well. I also am asking us to pray for all of those in our community who are on hospice. That would be Roger and Harriet. So we pray for Roger and Harriet and Jim. God, in your mercy. We also pray for various things in this country. We pray for our veterans and those who have served in our military, and those who currently serve in our military. Some who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. God, in your mercy. And also for the leaders and the people in our country and our state who are making decisions for our future. Help them look upon the American people with kindness and compassion and consideration for their needs. God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning?
I'm thankful this week for those who've come to my assistance, especially Lori Van Toft and today Deb Van de Zandt.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it is. It has been quite a week for many of us on our church staff. Chrissy Whitehouse, who previously served as our bookkeeper, resigned rather suddenly, it's been a difficult week for many of us. And I want to pray for Chrissy, who served in this position for 15 years, for Chrissy's family, as they navigate what this means for them, and for the leadership of our church, for Chris and Lori and Deb, as they have offered assistance in this unexpected and sad time. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? Yes.
Yes, Janet Gale would ask that we pray for people who are isolated and misunderstood.
Indeed. God, in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. I'm not seeing anything here unless anybody wants to get in at the last minute. It's like playing whack-a-mole. I never know, I look for hands and sometimes I'll miss one. Let's pray. God of love and justice, there are so many ways that we can show love and hospitality to one another. Your servant Rebecca was a brilliant model of this to Abraham and to Isaac and to their family. while we may not have the same kind of opportunity, there are ways that we can do that in small ways. Like offering a hand of financial assistance and financial administration assistance when a staff member resigns, or offering helping hands in our community through food pantry donations, through working with Reach Waupun, through working with Church Health Services and all of the important work that they do. And we pray for those in our community whose names have been listed, who need your comfort and your presence today, for Connie and Paul and Laura and Barb and Roger and Harriet and Jim. We also pray for our country, imperfect as it may be. We pray for leaders past and present. We pray for veterans and service members in the present, that you would empower them to continue to keep us safe in these challenging times. And we pray that you would help us meet the needs of others in our communities, needs of food and housing and financial assistance and other ways in which we might be called to work for justice for those who are marginalized and oppressed every day. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who was himself marginalized and who showed us a way through, even in these difficult days, and who teaches us by word and deed, and teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give as ushers come around with the offering plate. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift benefits not only this local church, but also the Church Universal. And one more thing, if you are worshiping with us online, we are going to be sharing communion after the prayer of dedication. So I invite you to take this time now and assemble your elements so that you can join us in the sacrament. Thank you. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so and join us in our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, the heavenly host. Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Giving God, make us a people who not only receive your gifts, but empower us to give in mutual measure so that all needs are met. Bless these gifts and amplify their impact as a witness to your goodness, and so all may flourish in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We now enter into a time of sharing the Lord's Supper as we do every month. And a reminder to all of us that is worth repeating every month. This table does not belong to this church. It does not belong to the United Church of Christ, but instead it belongs to Jesus Christ, who is the host and invites all to participate, whether we are members of this church or this denomination or not. And all are welcome to participate as Jesus would welcome all of us. Let us share and let us be in prayer together. The Holy One be with you. Open your hearts to the one who is love. Let us give thanks to God who takes risks for love. Throughout history, O God, we have struggled to claim the power you have given us. Destructive forces within and around us make us question your call upon our lives. We turn ourselves over in ways ordinary and remarkable to what is, to what has been, to the familiar. But you have created us for so much more. In Jesus, we saw a life lived in all its potential, in all its sacred power. Life that is abundant, love that was creative and fervent for justice. We saw, too, the consequences of living as if the kingdom were close. And so we wonder, if we live with such courage, what will we lose? In proclaiming truths that confront unjust power, do we stand a chance of survival? How will it go for us if we're willing to risk everything for love? You have never promised us safety, God, but you have shown us what is possible. The Spirit brings new life even to places of death. Jesus, knowing the dangers ahead, still did not cave to the threats of power or give in to the temptations of the popular. There was nothing he would trade for his love of the suffering and betrayed, even his own life. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after they finished eating, he took a cup and he poured it out. And he gave thanks. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and drink, this is my blood poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this and remember me." In remembering the life of Jesus, we remember what he taught us about ourselves, about the power God has given us. We remember that God in flesh is good news that feeds, that protects, that heals, and delivers. We remember the words he spoke, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." And so we pray, pour out your Spirit on this bread and this cup, O God. Through these gifts, fill our hearts with the courage to believe that the kingdom is within us, to live boldly in the pursuit of love that liberates, and to follow the wisdom that leads us from the margins. Blessed be this meal of hope. As we share communion together, you may come up by way of the center aisle, take a piece of bread and eat it, and then take a cup and drink it, put your empties either in the chalice here or in the plastic tins there. The larger plate contains gluten bread, and the smaller bowl has gluten-free bread for anybody who might have gluten sensitivities. And if you are unable to come forward yourself, we will be happy to bring your elements to you. Friends, the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Please join me in the prayer after communion. God, we give you thanks for this meal that nourishes us in body and spirit, for a taste of your dreams, for the earth that gifts us these resources, and for these bodies of ours through which you take on flesh. May our gratitude produce faithfulness, and our faithfulness produce justice. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 727, America the Beautiful. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Go now as people of God's beloved community, carrying the language and of compassion and welcome into every interaction, showing hospitality to strangers, grace to the weak, and love to all people. Cross the boundaries that hate tries to build, for the wind of the Spirit goes where it pleases. May the God who spoke every language to every nation at Pentecost stretch your heart wider than borders, wider than fear. And may the Creator of all living things bless you and keep you today and always. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.